What's up? This is Matt from Live from the Middle Urinal, and you're listening to the BS Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Two Bobs Podcast. Two everyday guys talking about everyday stuff, like their latest tech obsessions, sports, current events, and more. And now, the two people who are recipients of the most eye rolls in history. Please welcome the Two Bobs.
Hi, welcome to the Two Bobs. I'm Rob.
And I'm Robert, and you're listening to episode 46 for Monday, December 25th, 2017.
This week on the Two Bobs, we are the jolliest bunch of assholes this side of the nut house. We're going to talk about the beer we're drinking, because that's what we do. Also, a little bit about the latest Star Wars movie.
We'll bring everybody down a notch and talk about how Christmas music is making everybody miserable. And this week, we've got a double dose of holiday crazy news.
Hey, that's a nice hat you're wearing there.
You like it? We had hoped to get up on Facebook Live, or a little bit of technical issue. So you've got an ugly, well, I won't call it ugly, because maybe you don't consider it to be ugly.
This is just one of my regulars. I don't know what you're, what you're getting at here. No, it's what it is. It's Santa Claus. It's like a blue sky. It's a blue colored shirt with Santa Claus and a sleigh being pulled across the sky by not reindeers, but cats. And as an added bonus, it also lights up as well, and there's LEDs that change color and stuff like that. So, unfortunately, the world won't be able to see the sweater and all its wonder or your Christmas hat tonight. But I think our plan for 2018, our New Year's resolution, is to, while we're recording the show, also to broadcast it live on Facebook. So for you people that want to, our visual people, you know, even though Robert and I think both have faces made for radio, those who are visual would be able to kind of participate and comment live and things like that. So we're hoping to get more interactive for 2018. So stay tuned.
Yeah, it'll be fun. What's going on? You ready for Christmas? I mean, today's Christmas Day by the time people are listening to this, but we'll pretend for a minute.
Yeah, I mean, we're not that big of dorks where we're going to record a podcast on Christmas, right? So, yeah, it's the Thursday before Christmas. I'm excited. I mean, I have one more day of work to go, hoping tomorrow just goes by quickly, and then I'm off for the rest of the year till the second. So, got everything wrapped. Kelly's got, you know, all the cookies baked, and it's just a couple other things that she needs to, you know, to do to get ready for the big days ahead. And I have a couple things I need to build on Christmas Eve that will only take a couple minutes. Other than that, though, everything's, you know, excited and everything's going smoothly. How about you?
We're ready. And I think a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was even last week, we talked about wrapping presents. And I don't know if that quite made the show, but I've gone ahead and wrapped everything already. So we're done, which is really nice, because a lot, like you said, there's going to be other things going on that night of Christmas Eve. So I really don't want to be staying up till midnight, 1 o'clock, like I have in the past, just wrapping things. So everything is wrapped. It's ready to go. We have a better idea of if we need to fill in a couple holes with some gifts. So I'm excited. But like you, I'm going to be out next week. So I'm just trying to wrap a lot of things up. And it kind of hit me yesterday. And I have you read the book, the Stephen King book, 11/22/63?
Nope.
No, you never see the movie. Well, it wasn't really a movie. It was like a series on Hulu where they did it to match up with the book. But
yeah, I haven't watched, you know, aside from It and especially the new rendition of It, I haven't seen a lot of the Stephen King book, you know, books that are movies that have been written from the books, just because I think Stephen King novels have notoriously turned into really terrible movies. So
yes. Yeah, it's hard because he's so descriptive, and he really builds up the characters and he builds up the scenes. And I don't think that they can really put it into the movies. And even as great as It was, it still had a few things in it that weren't quite up to the book, because the book was so, so good. And even as good as the movie was, and I've got it ready to watch this weekend, hopefully on iTunes, it just can't do it. But 11/22/63 was about the JFK assassination. And basically there's a guy that found like a portal in this restaurant to be able to go back in time. And he realized when he went back in time that he was basically back into 1963. And he realized through knowing what happened there, as far as Oswald and everything that we know about it, he figured that he was able to change the course of time, thinking that if Kennedy was still alive, that a lot of the stuff that we had was not going to happen, that he basically wanted to change the course of the world. So what happened was every time he went back, and I won't give too much because it is worth it. If you like Stephen King, or if you just like, and it's not really one of his horror books. It actually kind of veers away from the horror, like It or Pet Sematary or any of those. I think anybody could read it, that even if you're not a Stephen King fan, and you would enjoy it. But every time he goes back in time, the world tries to prevent him from changing anything. The world is against him. Every time he goes back, something happens that kind of derails his plan, and he's got to figure out how to do it. And he kind of repeats things and goes back, and every time he goes back and forth, it resets. So he's able to learn. But anyhow, so
it's
basically
like Groundhog Day.
Yeah, it's a lot like that. But the world, I mean, in the Stephen King fashion, has quite a bit that can go against him. So anyhow, that's kind of how my week has felt, knowing that I was going to be out next week. As the week has progressed, it seems like more and more things are kind of stepping up to be able to keep this from being a clean break tomorrow. So that it just really made me think about that book and how it seems like the world is really against me being able to shut everything down tomorrow and leave for a week and then come back ready to go. So I'm hoping things will change tomorrow, but I don't know. It makes me want to read the book again or even watch the Hulu series, which again wasn't quite as good, but it's such a great story anyway. It feels like I'm living it.
Well, yeah, because detaching from work is such a hard thing to do, especially, you know, for people like you and I who are, you know, just really involved in our jobs. Like, to just be able to say for the next week, I'm not going to work. But knowing at the same time that the world keeps spinning, like, my clients aren't going to stop having financial needs while I'm off next week.
Yeah.
So I just know, and I prep I try to prep myself best as possible. I try to let, especially my clients that I know are just like those clients that call every week, like I make sure I let them know, hey, I'm off next week. But I just know, I do pretty good with it, but I also am I'm also prepared to have just a shit ton of work to do, on Tuesday, January 2nd when I go back to work. So, you know,
yeah. Yeah, we're closed on Monday and Tuesday, the 25th and 26th. So really, for me, it's only 3 days. And the way my work is, I have schedules, and I'm able to fit the schedules, and I'm able to look at it. And then now there's a couple things that are just popping up that are a little bit out of the ordinary, which we deal with day in and day out. That's just part of the job.
Yeah.
But when you're able to look at being away for a time and you have people to cover for you, they've got their own work to do. So you want it to be easy for them. And then when things kind of pop up at the last minute, it really just changes that whole mix of, and everything that you've worked hard for to be able to get to that point where people cover for you aren't going to be cursing your name while you're gone. I don't know, but that's okay. We'll make it. The people that I work with are amazing, so they'll figure it out, and I'll do everything that I can still anyway to leave them the best shape that they can. And it's just been one of those weeks, but that's okay. I'm ready to be off.
I'm ready to be off, and I'm ready to drink some beer.
I started sipping mine. This one's going to kick my ass, by the way, I think.
So is this one, my friend.
What do you got?
So what I have this week is another one from one of my favorite breweries, Bell's. And I think they're out of Comstock Park, Michigan, if I do remember correctly. If I don't, my apologies. Yep, it's Comstock. No, I'm sorry. It's just Comstock. Comstock, Michigan. And I've had a couple of their beers on the show already. I had one actually, I'll tell you when I had Bell's beer.
Couple weeks.
Yeah, I've had quite a few. So on episode 36, Kiki or Fudgy, I had the Bell's Special Cream Stout, which I still have a couple of in the fridge. That was a delicious beer. And then episode 44, Crotch Nuggets, I had the Abracadabra Coffee Milk Stout, which again, was just a really good beer. So this is another one to add to the list of Bell's. It is stronger than a mother. So this is a Russian Imperial Stout. And it's one of the earliest examples of Russian Imperial Stouts in the United States. Expedition Stout offers immensely complex flavors crafted specifically. Expedition Stout offers immensely complex flavors crafted specially... Fuck. I've only had like two sips of it. Damn it. Okay. Expedition Stout offers immensely complex flavors Expedition Stout offers immensely complex flavors crafted specifically with aging in mind. A huge malt body is matched with a heady. Damn it. Fuck. A huge malt.
Fuck.
A huge malt body is matched with a heady blend of chocolate, dark fruit, and other aromas. The flavors will slowly meld and grow in depth as the beer ages in your cellar. It's 10.5% alcohol by volume. It has unlimited shelf life. It's one of those beers that's meant to be stuck in a dark room for a long time and get better with age, like a fine wine. Calories and carbs, doesn't matter. And food pairings, the port wine of the beer world, Expedition Stout, can be paired with duck fugues and smoked
foie gras.
Is that what it is? Foie gras. Okay. Smoked goose. Also for dessert, it's good with some dark chocolate truffles, pecan pie, raspberry tart, vanilla poached pears, or chocolate raspberry mousse cake. Cheeses, bleu de Bourgogne de Stilton or Roquefort. So,
yeah. Mine's about the same, by the way.
They produce a batch a year. It's produced in September. And if you want to hear all about the food pairings, so you know what the fuck I was just saying, you can go to the website, which is found in the show notes. But it's a good beer, very flavorful. It has kind of a deep aroma. It's hard to say. It's definitely some chocolate, but I feel it has it's very warm. You can definitely taste the alcohol in it, just like you can with most Russian Imperial Stouts. Has a nice heavy pour. It's nice and dark. Leaves a nice film on the side of the glass as I move the glass back and forth here. Yeah, it's beer as fuck. That's all I can say. It's a good beer. It's I put it on Untappd. I'm probably going to rate it around about a 3.5-ish. So it's one of those that I might pick up again, especially if I'm looking for something that's a little bit stronger. It has a really good flavor to it, but I don't even know what the word I'm looking for, but definitely the flavor, the notes of chocolate, and I don't know, roasted almonds.
The word you're looking for is good shit.
Yeah, I can't find the words tonight. I'm just really struggling. Words are hard. I'm struggling with talking tonight, guys. My apologies.
I have that every week.
Yeah, I don't know.
The way I was thinking about it the other day, the way my mind works, I have very specific things that I'm good at, and that was one of the reasons for trying to do this podcast, to try to get, even as a communication major, and for some reason, as I get older, I struggle with it a little bit, just as far as getting the words out, remembering things like that 11-22-63 I talked about a little while ago. I remembered the exact premise of what was going on, but I couldn't remember exactly what it was. And I kind of had to remember and backtrack a little bit and put myself, just the memory is kind of a funny thing sometimes, and stress and responsibilities and all the things that we've got going on this week really, I find for me, affect that quite a bit.
Yeah, to me, this beer tastes like a chocolate forest.
Nice.
It tastes like chocolate and tree bark, but in a good way.
Mine's going to have a bit of a stumbling block as well as far as these words, because I did pre-read this and I figured I'd just wing it because that would be a little bit more fun. But I've got something very similar to yours, and I've got a Southern Tier Brewing Company Chocolate Stout, which is spelled C-H-O-K-L-A-T. And it says it's a dessert beer with notes of dark chocolate. And just kind of sniffing it, it's like a chocolate milk or a Yoo-hoo. It's definitely very strong in the chocolate. I don't quite agree with it as far as being a dessert beer. Maybe if I had it with a big old slice of chocolate cake, I'd probably think otherwise. But the website says the Populvu, and it's P-O-P-O-L-V-U-H, which I have no idea what that is, but I think it's Chinese. The sacred book of the Maya unfolds a complex web of mystery around a beverage known as, and it starts with an X, so it knows it's Chinese, X-O-C-O-A-T-L. So it's
Xiaoqiaotl.
Right? We're not surprised this ancient hieroglyphs depict chocolate being poured for rulers and gods. Cacao is a mystical bean.
I would have been upset if you didn't say it like that, by the way.
Cacao. Chocolate is without a doubt a dessert beer. It encompasses the complexity of the darkest bittersweet candy together with that of the original frothy beverage of the Mayans. We combine the finest ingredients to tempt your senses and pay homage to history in every glass. And a lot like the one that I had last week, which was the bittersweet milk stout. It has that bitter taste to it. And if you remember, I mentioned that Melissa really likes the milk stout, the nitro milk stout. And I gave her a sip of the nitro bittersweet. And this is actually very similar to that. It's got a higher, and somewhere in here, let's see. I don't see. On the website earlier, I saw.
You're really selling this. You're doing as good of a job as I did with my expedition stuff. Don't worry.
I feel like that. But it's 10% alcohol by volume, and I think the IBUs were around 50, which was pretty high for this, I thought. I didn't expect it to be that high. But for me, it's okay. Being an IPA fan, the chocolate is a lot more prevalent than I was even thinking that it might be. I like it. I'm not quite sure it hits the four. I probably will go back and get a four pack. This was a build your own. Yeah, that's what I think.
Nice.
Now, the serving temperature says 48. I might have gone a little bit cold.
Mine doesn't have a serving temperature, and mine doesn't show the IBUs either, but I'd reckon to say that the IBUs are somewhere in like the high 20s or the low 30s. Let me see if it's on the fucking bottle.
I saw it somewhere, and I could have sworn it was in the 50s.
Unlimited shelf life.
It does have the 10% right on there. Imperial Stout brewed with chocolate and natural flavor added.
Fantastic, Robert. Elderly listener has been really impressing me lately. So she texted me a picture of a menu the other day. Was it last week? She was like, she was at Rochester Mills. Was she? No. No, she was not. She was somewhere else. But anyway, she texted me a picture of a menu and was like, hey, what should I get off of this? And I recommended two things, the New Highland, the Poet.
Yes, excellent.
Which actually I have one tonight, which I'll be drinking in just a moment or two here. And also Founders Rubaeus. And she liked both. She actually liked the Poet better, though, which I was surprised. The Rubaeus is a lot sweeter. And it's a lighter beer, but this is the Poet's a much darker, it's an oatmeal stout. So she really liked that. And then last night she was another place, and she had a Rochester Mills, I think it was a breakfast stout or oatmeal stout from there, and she really enjoyed it. So she's been heeding our advice on the show and trying new craft beer, and I'm kind of proud of her.
She needs to start venturing out, maybe logging these in on a tap so we can keep track of what she's doing.
All kidding aside, she said she was going to download and install Untappd and create an account so that way she could start logging some of her beers.
Well, that's good. How was Star Wars?
Star Wars was phenomenal. I'm assuming you haven't seen it yet.
Not yet.
No, that's right. You were waiting till Ben's birthday or something like that, right?
We're going Monday or two. Well, Monday's Christmas. We might go then, but I think it'll probably be Tuesday.
So I guess some of the diehard, like super nerdy Star Wars people, there's been a little bit of backlash with some of the things that were said and done or whatever. I'm not as big enough of a Star Wars geek to worry about all that though. So, for me, I thought it was really good. I thought the fight scenes were just excellent. Although I was talking to somebody at work yesterday, it was kind of funny because we were talking about, like, if you watch some of the old Star Wars, if you watch some of the original three Star Wars that were made, like the fight scenes were good, But then they made the other set, which would episode 4, 5, and 6, which actually predated the first episodes. And the fight scenes were like crazy in those. And then you have the new ones, which again have really good fight scenes. So it's almost like they were really, really big into fighting during this time. But then they're like, you know what? We've been fighting like this way too much. Like, we got to get back to the basics. Just swing the fucking sword, or lightsaber, you know, kill the person, you know, chop their arms off or whatever you got to do to disable them. And then further on into time, they're like, all right, we got to start, you know, going crazy with these fight scenes again. So it's just kind of funny because if you just look, it was crazy fight scenes and not so crazy, then crazy fight scenes again. Like, there's just no consistency in how these people are fighting over time.
Yeah.
In the vehicles, by the way, in the first three Star Wars look way more modern than the ones after that. So it's just.
Oh, the original ones, the ones that came out in the 70s.
They regressed. Well, it's like Johnny Ive designed the ones in the first three episodes, you know, 1 through 3, and then 4, 5, and 6, which were the first Star Wars that were made.
Right.
You know, where they kind of, they were a little bit shakier.
Well, the technology wasn't quite there. They didn't know when expected it to be as big as it ended up being.
No, exactly. So it's just kind of funny. If you watched them all, I think if you watched all the episodes like right after each other, you'd kind of see like some kind of funny inconsistencies just between them.
Sure.
But I mean, overall, just going back to the Last Jedi, awesome movie. One thing I really appreciated was it wasn't a comedy by any means. They didn't do so much humor that I felt that way, but they threw just enough humor, like little tiny little like nuggets of humor into the movie that I there was actually some parts where I was kind of laughing but just for a moment, and then they would go back into, you know, what they were there to do, which is, you know, fly ships and swing swords and stuff like that. So so overall, really good movie. It's one, if the opportunity presented itself, I'm trying to see. I really want to take Colin to see it, but it's PG-13. But I'm like, well, they didn't do all, like, it wasn't all that bad. But,
well, hey, Ben's about the same age, so when he goes to see it, I'll let you know. If there are certain scenes that I'll cover his eyes, but I obviously won't know when they are, but I've taken him to see movies and I've covered his eyes. It just seems like to be a tradition for him for his birthday that we go anyway. So I think it'll be all right.
Yeah. Nobody's coming out with their tits out or anything like that. I mean, it's just, it's PG-13. So like
I'm not going.
Oh, no tits. Fuck this. I'm out. Peace. Till they start rating these Star Wars movies NC-17. I'm not interested.
Well, anytime we watch Netflix, I always look to see what the ratings are. And if there's no end there, usually Melissa will go, oh, well.
Oh,
mostly for me. She's just joking. Like, oh, well, I guess you're not going to watch this. That's always my joke. Well, if it's not on there, if there's no end for nudity, I'm not going to watch it. But I always watch it anyway. It's the ongoing thing.
This is the best Christmas special ever, by the way. I've sworn several times. We were talking about Star Wars.
You said tits twice.
I've already said tits three times. Four, right. So far, five tits now, the one I just said. And you've taken your hat off as well. So it's just me.
It was getting hot, my bald
fucking
head.
Fucking ugly Christmas sweater. Luckily, I'm in my basement, which is like 60 degrees, so the sweater is perfectly fine with me. So, but anyway.
When we go live, we're going to need to be wearing suits.
I'm getting a tuxedo just for it, actually.
All right.
So we have some podcast friends of ours from Take Two Podcasts. They're doing a Christmas special though.
Yeah, Take Two, TAKETOO. So if you're gonna take two, not TWO, but TOO, Take Two Podcast. They did a crossover episode that's coming out on Friday the 22nd that we were able to participate in, where they had several podcasters from various different shows talking about their favorite Christmas movies, TV shows, and music. Again, that episode comes out on the 22nd. So by the time you're hearing this, it'll already be out. You can check them out at Take Two Podcast. Again, that's TAKETOO Podcast. And they are available on iTunes and pretty much anywhere else that you get podcasts.
Yeah, so kind of a cool thing. We appreciate our buddies over at Take Two Podcast for inviting us to be part of this. And kind of a cool kind of fireside chat from some of our colleagues in the podcast community. And so check it out. It's a good podcast. You know, it's entertaining. It's about entertainment. And, you know, if you listen to the latest episode, you get to listen to us for another 5 minutes. So it can't be that fucking bad, right?
That's right. And the other thing is, too, they just actually just did a review on the Star Wars episode, or the Star Wars movie, rather. So I'm going to wait till after I see it and go back and listen to what they said, because I'm curious to see their take on it. I got a little bit of hints on it from Twitter, but I'm not going to read anything until I actually see the movie, and then I'll dive in. No spoilers.
Yeah. And again, if you're a big Star Wars geek that has just been a huge fan of the movies, and you've read all the other, you know, read and watched all the other shit for years, and just know every little thing about every little character and things like that, I guess there's some people have said there's maybe some inconsistencies and things like that. But again, me as just a guy who's really enjoyed the movies, I thought it was fucking great. So
yeah, I don't usually go into movies like that where I'm trying to figure it out or look for that kind of thing. Like I distinctly remember when The Sixth Sense came out, and I remember watching it, and I got all the way to the end, and they realized, I mean, by now you've got to see it, so there's no spoiler here, but
yeah. They
realized that he was dead, and I had no clue. Maybe if I wanted to, I probably could have figured out, but I was talking to people about it and how good the movie was, and there were a lot of people that said, oh, I figured it out in the first 5 minutes. And, well, why would you do that? Why would you spend any time trying to figure that out or looking for things to ruin the movie? Just sit, watch it, and take it as a whole, and then say, yeah, it was good, yeah, it was bad. But
yeah, enjoy the fucking movie.
Looking to nitpick kind of things is not really my cup of tea. I'll watch it and go, hey, it was good. Same thing with It. I mean, I didn't tear it up, and I know there were people that did, and it didn't follow this and didn't follow that, and that's not who the character was, and just so what? Just enjoy it.
And again, going back to It, I mean, I've read the book. It was years ago when I read the book, but I've seen both the movies. I would say this was a much better adaptation of the book than the original It that came out. So, I mean, you can talk shit about it, but I thought it was pretty good, especially for, again, a movie based off of a book. They did a really super good job. And the guy that, the actor that played, Pennywise was just phenomenal in that role. So, whatever.
Even just the opening scene when you first see him, it's just unreal. Anyhow, this is a Christmas episode, as we talked about. Today is Christmas Day.
By the way, Star Wars, I'm gonna change my vote. Star Wars The Last Jedi is my favorite Christmas movie.
You can't do that. We're not going to go through the whole bracket again. Well, a second ago, you mentioned Star Wars geeks and being, again, a Christmas show. I've got a little video here. We're going to post the link in the show notes and put it on all the social things. But I saw this earlier, and I thought it was pretty cool. But it's a Star Wars Christmas light show that this guy's got set up on his house. And do you put a lot of lights out? I know you did put some of them out, but do you look like a Griswold out there, or do you look a little bit more modest?
No, my house doesn't look like it's on fire. I put some lights out, and it's mostly for the kids. I mean, I don't go all out. It's just, in the house we have the fireplace and the hearth decorated, and then we have the Christmas tree and a couple other little things.
We've got some people around the neighborhood that do quite a bit, but not really much as this guy. So I'm gonna play the music for you. And again, this is coming right out of his house, and the lights are dancing around to the music.
This guy basically has his entire house just layered in LED panels, and the audio really doesn't do it a whole lot of justice. You got to watch this video. Like, this shit's crazy. I wish this guy lived across the street from me.
You don't know the power of the dark side. You don't know the power of the dark side.
I didn't want to drop. Drop acid. I'm drinking my Poet, by the way. Headbanging music there.
Rob was just headbanging, but neither of us have any hair, so it wasn't that impressive.
No, my headbanging game is pretty weak.
Now, do you like Christmas music? I know, I think we talked about before. that Kelly tends to like listening to it. And Melissa really does. She pulled up in the driveway earlier. I had the dog outside and she put the windows down and she was blaring some Christmas music.
To a point, and I would say Kelly too, in her defense, to a point, she's into the Christmas music.
Oh, in her defense, you're defending her this week?
I think part of it, it kind of drives me insane. In our building, in my office, not directly in my office, thank God, I have a fucking door I can close to shield myself from it, but in the office in general, in the common areas, there's music that's playing, and right, I think it's probably November 1st, thank God, it starts interjecting Christmas music in, so it's not all Christmas music, it's just Christmas music sometimes. So it kind of interjects Christmas music like every couple of songs, which is just enough to, it doesn't drive me insane, but what drives me insane is just the constant Christmas music. Like, let's tear down all of our Halloween shit and switch right to, like, they flip a switch to Christmas and then it's just all Christmas all the time. Like, I love Christmas music, but I mean, just, there's so much of it. There really is. If we're out looking at Christmas lights, and which we'll go through, like we did it today, actually, took the kids and just drove around a neighborhood and listened to Christmas music. That was all right. But
there comes to be a point where it's too much. And especially if you start that early, late October, and actually even in November, it's just way too soon. And there's a new study out that says psychologists say that Christmas music is bad for your health. And a lot of it revolves around retail workers having to listen to it constantly and having worked in a mall and hearing that music again from basically before Thanksgiving and all the way through Christmas. It just really wears on you. So the studies are saying that people are less focused, and particularly in places like yours where you're working in finance. And so it's not really specific to retail that it's really affecting people and not only so much that they're having a hard time concentrating, but also it's bringing back memories of when they were kids or other things that have happened to them that maybe happened around Christmas. And I don't think we really talked about it much on the show, but you and I talked about it. But I was extremely close to my grandmother and she passed away 3 days after Christmas. I had another grandmother that passed away a week before Christmas, and I have relatives that have died at various holidays. So I always kind of remember them on those days. Thankfully, I'm not quite to that point where it seems like Christmas music affects me in a negative way, but I definitely do have lots of memories surrounding the music when I hear it. So again, they're just really saying that it's sometimes going too early can mess up somebody's mental health, and they've got to do it pretty much for 2 months.
Yeah, and I've worked in retail during the holiday season. It was like, I don't know, probably almost 20 years ago at this point. But God, just the, again, it was the same thing. It was just Christmas, 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 starting on 11/1 and going all the way through like the first week, really, of the new year. And God, it just was crazy. Like, the millionth time having to hear Frosty the Snowman in a 3 month period is okay, but once you hit that million and first time having to listen to that song, it just makes you want to kind of kick a puppy. Like, you know, so for me, I'm okay with it, but and the kids enjoy it, and it does kind of get me into the spirit. But to a point, at some point, I gotta turn that shit off. Like, I can't do it.
Oh yeah, even in the car, I've turned it off because again, Melissa likes to listen to it, and in the house, we have it playing through the Alexa speaker, so you know, play Christmas music on Pandora, whatever. And after a while, it just seems to go on so long. And watching the Christmas movies is not so bad because there's a lot else going on. But just having the music going on, I reach a point where even just during the day, but when you're at work, if you're particularly, again, retailer or in any other institution that has this music playing, you can't avoid it. Maybe putting earbuds in or something like that. But if you're a teller at a bank or working retail, you can't tune it out. It's just there.
Yep. And that's where I really feel like I start to get angry with Christmas.
It breaks down and enough is enough. And when can we put all this shit away and move on? Where's spring?
Yeah. Like, I feel really, I get excited about putting the Christmas stuff out, but that feeling of taking all the Christmas stuff back down and just yes. looking around your house and seeing the Christmas clutter gone and everything back to the way it should be is just really refreshing as well.
Yes.
In fact, it especially after like December 26th, I start turning into that person that just wants to take just like a baseball bat to my Christmas tree and get it down. I'm just sick of it being in the corner of the room at that point, which coincidentally leaves us right into our crazy news of the week. In fact, I think we have two this week.
We do have two. Oh, oh, oh. Which one's first?
Oh, you pick. Man. Well, since we're already in the mood for some Christmas rage, let's talk about this Huffington Post article. It's titled Christmas Rage Room Lets You Wreck the Halls with Holiday Havoc. And I think you have a new story to go along with it.
I certainly do.
Play the reel.
All right, let's go.
You know, preparing for Christmas can push some people over the edge, but now there's a solution for everyone who's sick of shopping, decorating, and holiday music.
This guy beating the shit out of a Christmas tree with a bat.
Yeah, take that and that. Welcome to Rudolph's Rage Room in London. People are venting their holiday frustrations. They get a baseball bat and a Christmas-themed jumpsuit, and everyone has their own reasons for being
ready, steady.
It's the songs. It's the cold weather. I'm a summer guy.
By this date, I think most people are pretty sick of the Christmas music, all the decorations. I think people are done with it, and they just want to get out some of that stress.
Well, there you go. It costs $25 for 3 minutes inside the Rage Room.
That's awesome. So for you people who couldn't see the video, it's basically it's a room that is decorated beautifully for Christmas. It's the walls are lined with different kinds of Christmas wallpaper. There's several beautiful, I would think, artificial Christmas trees with glass ornaments and tinsel and all the trimmings of the tree. And for $24, which I think is money well spent, you can go in there for 3 minutes with bats and just beat the fuck out of the room. Like, would you pay for this? Like, if you were that sick of Christmas, would you pay for this?
You know, I think given the week that I've had with trying to, you know, again, just get through it to be able to go out, I probably would. Maybe the day before Christmas so that I could get it all out and then be ready for people to be around.
Yeah.
And for me to be around other people, I guess.
I would love to because, you know, taking the decorations down, I don't mind. But, God, taking the tree down, like getting all the ornaments off and then getting all the other shit off and then taking the pieces apart and folding it in so that way it fits into the box that it never really fits in again that it came with and just all that. I wish I could just beat the shit out of it with a bat and be done with it and just drop the bat and then walk away and be done with it. Actually, tangent, as we do. I don't know if I ever talked about this, but the Christmas, when Kelly and I had an apartment, if I've already talked about this, let me know. But Kelly and I, when we first got married, we rented an apartment and we had a hand-me-down artificial tree that my parents gave us. And at the end of Christmas, like this thing was like barely even standing up anymore. Like it kept falling. It would just fall over. Like it was in that bad of shape. Where there were just like fake pine needles all over the place. Like we get a fake tree so we don't have to deal with the pine needles, but then there's fucking fake pine needles everywhere. So at the end of the season, we said, you know what? This is never going to be in our living room again. This tree has had it. So what we did is in the field behind our apartment, there was like a marsh and some water. You know, there was a marsh and a field. There were some pine trees back there. We just stuck it in with the other pine trees, the artificial tree at the end of Christmas. And I specifically remember one time, like the property manager showing somebody the apartment right next to ours. And as they're walking up, she looks over at the pine trees and just stops and stares at it for a second because it was just obvious. And like, it almost looked like it belonged there. But it looked slightly different than the rest of the pine trees that were there. So you could tell she kind of stopped and just stared at it. It was like, that's a fake fucking Christmas tree over there with the other pine trees. So it was really funny. But again, it was nice because instead of having to take it down, I literally just took it outside and put it in the marsh with the rest of the trees.
Well, she's probably done that walk enough that walking through there and your mind kind of takes that snapshot, and she probably had done it enough where she didn't really expect that there would be anything different there, and going through just kind of doing that double take, like something's different about it. And like you said, it's going to be pretty obvious that the tree is not the one that's over there. So which one of these things doesn't belong? And that was it.
That's exactly what I think happened there. But going back to the Rage Room, so I guess these things have been popping up around the world. So it just, it's just giving back to the people that deal with the Christmas holiday, allowing people to spend a few minutes in the not so gentle release of smashing everything they hate. So it's not, and by the way, it's not just for, I guess it's branching off into other things than just Christmas too, like office paraphernalia, kitchens. Just these rooms are just popping up to allow people to release their inner rage without getting in trouble, without having to smash their own shit and having to get it fixed or replaced.
That's better than doing it out on the road. Now, would you do it? I think you might have answered that, but I don't.
I would need like a Rage City where I just get a car and it's filled with
Godzilla,
other drivers that are just the same fucking assholes that I deal with on my way into and from work every day. And I just get to go around in this car and just smash the shit out of them and the car without getting in any trouble. So I would need a whole city just to road rage. And I would spend way more than $25 or $24 for 3 minutes. Like, how much for an hour? Just let me just drive around, just fucking just smash into people. That would be awesome.
Yeah, there was a guy, we went over to pick up Benjamin after I guess it was a daycare, but we went to go pick him up, and there's a lane kind of cutting through the little shopping area, and there's one lane going one way and the other lane going the other way, and the guy was just sitting there, and he was stopped like he was waiting for somebody to come out of the store, and he didn't have his flashers on or anything. And we went to go around him thinking that maybe he's just sitting there waiting, but he's on his phone. So I guess he probably was waiting. So we stopped because there's a pedestrian coming across, and the pedestrian kind of puts up his hands like, don't run me over. We were already stopped. Meanwhile, we're next to this guy who's blocking. He could have gone to any of the empty spaces that were there. And the guy putting this up his hands like, hey, don't hit me. We're really just kind of like, okay, we're trying to get through here. We can't get around this other guy. Everybody's running the stop sign. We can't get around him. There's pedestrians cutting across. And at some point, it's just like me, I just forget it. I'll go in my little car, kind of go through there.
In your electric car, you're able to sneak up.
Yeah, it makes no noise. So yeah. I can creep up on them. It's just that time of year, everybody's on edge. So I'm not at all surprised that these things pop up. And this one was in London, but I don't begrudge anybody who does it. And I wouldn't be surprised if this just continues to grow in popularity.
Do you remember that scene from The Office where Andy and Dwight were feuding over Angela? And Dwight is out in the parking lot, but he thinks that Andy's hiding in the bushes or something like that. He somehow lures him there, and then he's like facing the bushes, like trying to find Andy. Andy gets in his Prius and sneaks up behind him, but he can't hear the car, and he just like kind of pins him up against it. I don't know if it's trees or a dumpster. It was something that he was facing away, but every time you talk about your Prius, I think about that scene.
It actually has like a little whine to it, like a high-pitched sound of just it's an electric motor that drives for the most part, except for the gas part that comes on. But like in a parking lot, there's nothing that makes any noise. Again, it's just a
yeah, you would drive a car that just whines.
Fuck off. Merry Christmas, asshole. Let's get to this so I can shut this.
Don't be a Grinch.
Shut off Skype. Well, speaking of Grinch, I saw this guy on TV the other day, and I just had to use this one because it's a mix of crazy news, but a little bit of mix of a cute little boy. And again, Grinch that I love, and it's a feel good story. I think that's a good, perfect spot for us to end the episode, but I'll play his 911 call.
This is the Byron Police Department. We had a 911 hangover from this number.
I just want to tell you something. Watch for the Grinch, because the Grinch won't steal Christmas, okay? My dad said talk to you. This 911.
911? I'm sorry. I'm playing on the phone.
No, no, it's fine. It's definitely been the most interesting thing that's happened as far as 911 hangups for me.
That's so he awesome. Watched The Grinch, and then he called 911 to tell 911 to be aware that this big, scary green guy was going to be running around, and at some point was probably going to steal Christmas, and he wanted to be able to let everybody know so that they could stop it.
So little Tylon Pittman, he became afraid. He reached for the house phone, called 911 to report an urgent tip. And I think what he says, I just want to tell you something. Watch for that little Grinch, because the Grinch is going to steal Christmas, okay? Tylon said on the 911 call, which was posted on the Clarion Ledger website. That's really funny.
And the police were actually really good about it. I have a story about my Apple Watch calling 911 in a little bit, but the police actually did a really nice job in trying to not really make light of it, but to teach him about it, and actually took it a little bit extra.
All right, a five-year-old boy decided that he wasn't going to let anyone steal his Christmas after watching a video about the Grinch.
So he decided to call 911, and a police officer came knocking at his door.
What are you going to do when he tries to steal your Christmas?
So that's the police officer.
I want to try to come at my house and take him to jail.
Take him to jail.
Oh. We can take him to jail if he wants to try to steal your Christmas.
I watched it on my phone.
So he watched The Grinch on his phone. The officer in Mississippi assured Tylon Pittman his Christmas was safe and the Grinch would not be stealing his toys. Then police went a little step further. They actually tracked down the Grinch so Pittman could help arrest him, lock him up, all that to keep Christmas safe for the rest.
So they found a Grinch that they were able to, I guess, somebody that they could convince to wear the Grinch suit. They found him and put him in jail and allowed this little boy to see him going in jail so he wouldn't have to worry.
That's awesome. And it's cool to see law enforcement kind of embrace this and, you know, like you said, educate the kid on, like, when is a proper time to call 911 and things like that. But also let him have a little bit of fun, make him feel better that Christmas isn't going to be stolen by the Grinch. And, you know, it's good. It's good to see good things happening between law enforcement and the community as well, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and I think those 911 operators get quite a bit of interesting things. I know, like I said, a couple weeks ago, I was playing baseball, and my Apple Watch actually called 911 because I had the watch face turned around, and in reaching my wrist back, it enabled the emergency dialing system. So there was a storm coming, and I was throwing the ball back and forth with my son, and I heard the kind of whoop, whoop, and I thought it was my phone alerting me to basically the fact that there was thunderstorms coming through. And next thing you know, I hear 911 emergency, and I'm looking around trying to figure out where it's coming from. And I look down at my watch to see what time it is, and I see 911, basically across my phone, across my screen. So I take my phone out and I switch over, and I said, I kind of Dick Tracy'd it. And I said, you know, I was talking to her through that and eventually switched it over to my phone. But she said, yeah, you would be just surprised that the kind of calls with technology these days that have kind of really ramped up the weirdness that they get. And I was very apologetic and gave her all my information and expected a fine. But she said, you know what? It's not that big of a deal. We were able to resolve it quickly. She was glad that nobody was hurt. And my phone actually sent a text message to Melissa and to my mom because I had them in as emergency contacts. And it sent them a map and everything of where I was. My mom called back. Wow. Melissa didn't even say anything until I got home, so I figured she was just in it for the insurance. But my mom was concerned, so that's good.
She had already been on the phone with the insurance company.
So it was all new furniture when I got home. I don't know why. I have no idea where she got the money. She seemed kind of pissed.
No, that's really cool. I mean, honestly, 9-11
My dishwasher is upstairs ready to run, too. I had to turn it off before I came down here.
Emergency dispatchers have really tough jobs. Sheer volume of calls that they handle and trying to understand what's truly an emergency, what's not, who to get involved, where to send them, how to talk people down that are, you know, really in bad positions at that time and things like that. I mean, it takes a lot to be a dispatcher. So the fact that they handle this so well with Tylon is pretty cool. At the end, it says, Graves said his family has enjoyed the attention the 9/11 call has brought and thinks the whole episode is pretty amusing. We thought it was funny. We were shocked he actually did it, Graves said, but we had a talk with him about when it's okay to call 911.
Did you ever prank call 911 as a kid?
Hell no.
Okay. Yeah, I did a couple times. It wasn't that good. They called back, and I was over at my grandmother's house, and they called back and asked to speak to somebody. So needless to say, I learned my lesson. But yeah, I think, like you said, the 911 operators, they deal with so much tragedy and so much real stuff throughout the day that probably a little break like this and talking to an old man that's playing baseball with his son and a young man, Tylon, here, who just watched The Grinch, is probably a nice diversion, a nice break from the everyday calls that they get.
I think so.
I think so, too. Well, Merry Christmas, my friend. I'm sure we'll be talking throughout the weekend and throughout Christmas Day as we open up all our stuff and compare notes. But I appreciate you, and hopefully you have a good one.
You too, and we'll see you next week. Actually, our next episode will come out on January 1st. So hopefully, if all goes well, maybe we'll be recording next week's episode. Also, you'll be able to check it out on Facebook Live. It'll be like an 80s sitcom, like, you know, at the beginning. We will have to have this episode was filmed in front of a live studio audience at the beginning or something like that.
Of four.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll see what happens. Hopefully we can figure out the technologies, or hopefully you can figure it out, because, you know,
I'll figure it out.
I just show up here once a week.
We'll confirm the time, and maybe there's a little thing in the software here that kind of gives you a countdown that we're almost ready, so people can prepare, and maybe the little alert will pop up and say they're about to go live, and we'll give it a shot. Hopefully it works out well. I'm pretty excited about it, and we've been trying to get this for a long time, but the software finally updated to kind of match up with everything else we've got. It'll be a nice, fun start to 2018.
Yep, and as always, you can find us. You can call us at 530-882-BOBS. That's 530-882-2627, or you can find us on the interwebs at the Two Bobs Podcast, all the social things at Two Bobs Podcast,
and our website at thetwobobs.com.
Didn't I say that? Fuck, I said it wrong, didn't I? On the interwebs,
you said you could find us at the interwebs at the Two Bobs Podcast.
You guys are probably the coolest Bobs of all the Bobs.
Fuck,
this 10% was good shit.
I drink all my beers. I drink that, and then I drink the Poet as well.
Which, oh man, I brought a second one down, but I knew that I'd be hurting after this one.
Yeah, Kai's gonna be mad when I go upstairs. She's like, "You're drunk, aren't you?" I'm just going to bed. You're drunk. I miss Scary Caller.
I have a feeling Scary Caller is out there running around somewhere. We just haven't heard from him.
Really dropped the fucking ball lately.
I know.
What are we paying him for?
What are we paying us for, my friend? But I'll see if I can throw out the bat signal and get old Scary Caller back on the horn. We'll put a note out on all the social things and see if he'll call back in. I have a feeling he's been busy.
Do it.
All right, that's episode 46. We'll see you next week.
Peace.
Bye. The preceding show was brought to you with joy by the Two Bobs. All words are their own and not of their respective employers. Music provided by Jewel Beat. To subscribe to the podcast, contact the Two Bobs, or for more information, please visit thetwobobs.com.